Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you want me to do for you? Rabbi, let me recover my sight. If it had been me, I'd have said, give me $3 million and retire me now and make sure I get 3 square meals a day so I don't have to work. You realize the guy asks Jesus to open his eyes and then he's going to go have to work for a living? Oh, he should have shot higher than that. Why, you get the chance to grab the golden ring, grab it and take all you can. This man says, I want to get back at, one would assume that he had seen at one time, I want to get back at living my each day the way I used to. I want to be restored to the life that I had. And thus, here he is. Hearing this, Jesus is coming. I mentioned at our Bible study yesterday, it's kind of a surprising thing to me, and I hadn't realized it until this fall as I continue to read through the commentaries on the book of Mark, that there is a Jewish tradition that King Solomon, the son of David, was able to do miracles of healing. That's nowhere mentioned in the Bible, but Jewish tradition talks about that, and traditions have a way of getting passed on. And so when he says Jesus, son of David, he is acclaiming him as one who he has heard can do the same things as he probably had heard Solomon had done. We know David didn't do any miracles. In fact, one of the real problems is if David is going to be our Messiah and he does not want to go fight against the Roman Empire, and can't do better than get 12 disciples and a few other followers, he's certainly not going to lead us in a revolt. Well, the revolts in 66 and in 132 did not work out very well. Both times, the Jewish people lost. And Jesus certainly was not here to simply go fight. But from time to time, we get these little hints about a restoration. Not only does he call him son of David, but he also calls him rabbi, teacher. Both very odd things to call someone when you're asking that your eyesight would be restored. Oh, wait a minute. Your eyesight restored. Well, that had happened a couple of times. Not very often, but Jesus had opened people's eyes. When I was pastor in Michigan, one of my members, Bob Auten, gradually lost his eyesight. His wife, Evelyn, even brought him to the Mayo Clinic toward the end to try to see if they could do something for him and was not successful. When I saw him up at the University of Michigan, he said, Pastor, do you realize everybody on this wing has the same problem I do? A lot of people are losing their eyesight. Well, don't you think it would have been a lot nicer if Jesus would have simply hung around and hung out his shingle and 2 seconds at a time, what do you want? My eyesight, bing, 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 and save us all that money. And all the rest of our surgeries, bing, bing, bing. Why didn't he stay around? Why, even if people only gave him $500 each, can you imagine how much money he'd run up every hour? Why, how much money he could give to the poor from the people who obviously have enough money to pay for it? Every time, at least most of the times, when Jesus heals somebody, he says, don't tell anybody. Keep it to yourself. Because he did not come to start an armed revolt, to defeat the Roman Empire, which was really taking away an awful lot of what they had. nor did he come to heal people. That wasn't his prime mission. And yet both the text from Jeremiah and the text we're going to look at this week in our Living with God class from Isaiah talk about how the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the lepers will be cleansed, the dead will be raised, and the poor will have good news preached to them. Anybody can babble on about something nice is going to happen. With Jesus, it happened. With Jesus, there were restorations physically. Every one of those things, people had happened to them. People's lives were restored. One strange one is when the lepers are cleansed and nine of them don't even come back to say thank you except the foreigner, the Samaritan. They want to get back to their own way. But just like Isaiah, after he sees the vision of God in the Holy of Holies and his tongue is touched with that burning coal and he is told that his sins are taken away, he's at peace with God and he hears God saying, I need someone. He says, here am I, send me. The blind man could have run back home and showed everybody that he could see again. He followed him on the way. On the way where? Well, we're coming to the end of chapter 10 in the book of Mark, and Jesus is making his way up to Jerusalem to die. He's going to be put to death. This young man in his early 30s, as we reckon it, who in a very short time has irritated an awful lot of people. You would wonder why they'd be so angry. They're angry because he is showing that their religiosity is fake. People can put on a good show, they can walk around, they can be nice even. But when push comes to shove, Jesus comes because we cannot stand before our God. We cannot tear up our debt. We pile it up faster than we can get rid of it. Of the ways in which we act against the God who made us. The healing, the restoration that we need is not just for our bodies, with our aches and pains and surgeries and all that. It is finally what's wrong all the way down deep into our heart. Deeper than our actions, deeper than our feelings and emotions, deeper than just what we understand or even what we want. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, fornications, thefts, blasphemies. And it's that which we need to have healed. And if we try to tear that up, there's nothing left. And thus our God takes on human flesh. True God and true man comes to pour out his blood, to shed his blood as a sacrifice instead of us, to do that one time for all what is necessary so that God himself will see the blessings of Jesus' death poured on every one of us who believe and will look at us and see us pure and holy, and cleansed from the heart on out. And thus, Jesus' healing goes way deeper than somebody's eyesight. It goes all the way down into the depth of our being. He takes away our rebellion, and he replaces it with peace with him, and peace within ourselves, and peace with one another. Others may give us trouble. We need not give it back. We can give it to the Lord instead of back to the people who have hurt us. I don't even know what game I was watching, but I saw just a very little bit of a football game yesterday afternoon. And one guy pushed somebody else a little bit, and the other guy really pushed him back right in front of the ref. And that second guy was the one who got the 15-yard penalty. I think it was the Nebraska-Northwestern game. And Northwestern ended up winning that. Don't think we can get away with anything before our God. He's the ref who sees it all. And he sees that in every one of us, there is rebellion, there is wickedness, there is trying to do what's in secret when we can get away with it, when no one will know. But he who knows everything has cleansed our hearts. And thus he reminds us, anything that you would do that is fitting to your old sinful nature, that is going to be part of that dark world you want to live in, is going to wreck you and destroy you. It will never work to bring you the peace you look for. It won't bring the happiness, it won't bring the settledness, it won't bring the joy. And thus we come before our God and confess our sins and say, Lord, this is in my heart by nature, and I have chosen to go that way. Not every time, but way too often. And I ask you, by the power of your Spirit, to work in me, to heal me. Because I want to follow you. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.